Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 36 of Revelation chapter 2, and we're currently reading verse 27. Revelation 2, verse 27 says, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Then, in our last study, we saw how the Greek word, which is translated as rule in this verse, is found 11 times altogether in the New Testament. 4 times it is translated this way, rule, and 7 times as feed or feeding. And we read every verse, and we saw how the word is used often in association with feeding sheep. As it said in 1 Peter 5:2, feed the flock of God. Or, as it said even more significantly in John 21, in verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And that is the identical Greek word translated as rule, here found as feed. Now, we've learned already, and we've discussed this for some time now, that Jesus rules with a rod of iron in the day of judgment, that he is victorious. He ascends to the throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He rules over all. And yet the word rule also leads us to the idea of feeding sheep. Now, isn't that curious? That's very curious, because for some time we've understood that it is God's plan for this period of time to feed spiritually, that is, to nourish his sheep, the elect, in the day of judgment. And this word, translated as rule, ties these two things together, feeding sheep and judgment day. Now, especially when we consider that he shall rule them with a rod of iron. We haven't looked at the word rod. And this word, the Greek word translated as rod, is, I don't think you'll be surprised to find out, also translated as staff. For instance, in Mark chapter 6, it says in verse 8, "And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse." And that's the word that is found as rod. It's translated as staff in Hebrews 11, in verse 21. "By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff." Now, what was Jacob's occupation? Remember when he went before Pharaoh and he stated his occupation? Well, actually, it was the brethren of Joseph. Let's read that just so I get it accurate. In Genesis chapter 47, "Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." So, yes, that was Jacob's occupation. He was a shepherd. And he had a staff. And when he was a dying, it says in Hebrews 11, he leaned upon the top of his staff. And And that is, again, the word that is translated as rod. And that goes along with the earlier word rule. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. We could very justifiably read this, and he shall feed them with a staff of iron. And the word feed and staff go together very well. And it points us in that direction of God's plan for the day of judgment, that he will, as a shepherd, the good shepherd, feed his people. This is the commandment that was given to Peter in John 21. After the great catch of fish were brought in which the net did not break, pointing to the great multitude saved from every nation and tongue and language on the face of the earth, were brought into the kingdom of God as God saved this great multitude during the little season of the great tribulation. And then, following this, they came out of great tribulation. And in Revelation 7, the Lord tells us, after they come out of great tribulation, that they are serving him day and night in his temple. In verse 15, they will hunger no more, neither thirst any more. And that points to the fact that they are no longer hungering and thirsting after righteousness, because all have received the righteousness of Christ. And then it says in verse 17 of Revelation chapter 7, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It is the plan of God, after the great multitude come out of great tribulation, to feed his sheep. We see it here in Revelation 7. We see it in John 21 in a figure, as the great catch of fish typify the great multitude. And then the very first point of conversation, the topic that the Lord brings up to Peter, who is representative of the believers who have been busy with the task of fishing, gathering the great multitude, is feed my sheep. That is God's focus. It is what he would have us to concentrate on. And so it's no surprise that as we read this verse, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and it leads us to the day of judgment. There's no question about that. Psalm 2 and Revelation 19, verse 15, leads us right to the day of judgment. And they're very similar verses to this, that it also directs us to God's program of feeding sheep. And yet we're just a little unsure about what God is saying here, because, well, it says he shall rule them with a rod of iron, or he shall feed them with a staff of iron. And that is just unusual. What does that mean, that he will feed them with a staff of iron? And as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. It doesn't sound good at all. It sounds very negative. And we have to ask the question, well, who or what is in view with this word them? He shall rule them or feed them with a rod of iron. And that word is also found in Revelation 19 in verse 15 in that verse that has the same statement. It says, and out of his mouth, referring to Christ, goeth a sharp sword. That would be pointing to the word of God, that with it, that is the word of God, he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Well, there's no question here that the word them is referring back to the nations. that are smitten with the sharp sword that comes out of his mouth, with the word of God. Those are the ones that are to be ruled with a rod of iron, or to be fed spiritually with a staff or rod of iron. And actually now that helps us, because it's not the true believers that are to be ruled with a rod of iron, but it is the nations of the world that Christ is ruling over, or that he is shepherding. He has been exalted. He has been lifted up by God to take his rightful place as Lord and King, as the great sovereign, the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has put down all rule and authority, and he must reign. And he shall reign until the last enemy is defeated, and that enemy is death. And so the Lord will reign over the earth during Judgment Day, a period of time identified with death. And he will reign until the very last day of this period of time. And then death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and God will be finished with his judgment and with this fallen creation and these fallen rebellious creatures, mankind, that dared to rise up against him. And yet the Lord is a good king. He's a benevolent king. He's kind and gracious and loving, and all the wonderful things we read of Christ, we read of God in the Bible, are still true of him. And so we would expect, well, if Jesus has conquered Satan, and if he has put him down from ruling in the congregations and from ruling in the world as the beast, as he was, Satan, that is, during the time of the Great Tribulation, then we would expect the rule of Christ to be very gracious and kind and good, and for all, he would have the best of their welfare in mind. Yet God, in using this word, ruling them with a rod of iron, is reminding us that he is ruling as a conquering king over a nation of rebels, over a group of individuals, mankind, that have broken his law, transgressed his covenant, and have offended in just so many ways the word of God, and they have shaken their fist at God, and now the law demands justice and satisfaction. It is the day of judgment. But since the people of God are still on the earth, as that will accomplish another of God's purposes, as he intends to try and test them during the same period of time that he is judging and punishing the wicked, the unsaved people, this allows him to feed them with the truth of the scripture, with the truth of the word of God. So as he rules, he feeds his sheep. But the same spiritual food, the truth of the Bible, the information that is comforting and encouraging and spiritually strengthening, it nourishes the soul of the child of God, of God's elect. The same identical food is also a rod of iron, or it is feeding the unsaved people with a rod of iron. There is no nourishment with the information coming forth out of the Bible for them. It does not nourish the unsaved inhabitants of the earth to hear that it is Judgment Day, to learn that God has shut the door and to discover that the light of the gospel is put out. But to the true believer who's already experienced grace and mercy of from the Lord and has a new heart and a new soul, the true believer feeds upon truth. And no matter how hard or difficult that truth may be, we love the truth. It supports and comforts and strengthens and helps us when we understand and learn the truth. And this is the food for the children of God, while at the same time it is a rod of iron to all of those that are not saved, to the non-elect. They are not satisfied. They are not fed. They are not comforted. They are not strengthened. It is grievous to them. It is ugly information to them. It is something that destroys them to hear these things. And so they take no comfort at all, no good at all from these things that they're hearing from the Bible, from Christ, who is feeding them with a staff. Yes, as the good shepherd, as the King of Kings reigning over the whole company of the elect, it is like a rod of iron to all of the unsaved people. And you know, let's just look at a few places where the word iron is used in the Old Testament, and I think we'll get an idea of what it means to be fed with a rod of iron. In Leviticus chapter 26, it says in verse 17, "And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits." Well, here God is speaking of his people who rebel against him, and the Lord is stating what he will do in response to their unfaithfulness. He will make their heaven as iron. Now, what if heaven were like iron? Can you imagine when you're praying and you're offering up your prayers to God, beseeching him for his help and mercy? And, well, it doesn't get through if heaven is like iron. And notice also, following that statement, "Your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits." It is referring to fruitlessness. And in the spiritual realm, that would indicate no salvation. That's what your heaven as iron is pointing to. It also says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 in verse 20, and this statement is made a few times in the Bible. It says, "But Jehovah has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day." God likens Egypt, which is a picture of the world and also of Satan's kingdom, as he often is typified or pictured as Pharaoh, who rules Egypt, just as Satan was ruling in the world. And God likens Egypt to a house of bondage many times, because it's in the world that men are enslaved to their sin and to Satan. They're in spiritual captivity. And that's why Egypt is called an iron furnace. because a furnace is where you have fire and the iron contains the fire so it doesn't spread, but anything put within that iron furnace will be burned up. And that's exactly how it is spiritually with the unsaved people of the world. As they live their lives in the world, they're under the wrath of God. They are in an iron furnace, spiritually being burned up until they will be no more unless God delivers. As he says here in Deuteronomy 4:20, Jehovah has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as ye are this day. God takes his people out of the fire. He removes them out of the world and delivers them from their bondage and from his wrath, so that the fire that was kindled in his anger is no more lit against them and they are delivered. But notice here, Egypt, the nation's boundaries are likened to iron, that which contains and holds the unsaved within. And again, that would indicate no good, no, nothing good for this word iron here, as it is that which keeps the unsaved unsaved. It keeps them in the fiery spiritual condition of being under the wrath of God. And then just one more place in Ezekiel chapter 4, it says, and I'll read from verse 1, "Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel." Well, this is an interesting little picture that God is having Ezekiel portray, and this is a type and a figure of the gospel. Historically, the tile is picturing Jerusalem or Israel, and God is laying siege to it, just exactly as he did to the nation of Israel with the Assyrians and to the nation of Judah by the Babylonians, due to their rebellious habits, to their constant rebellion against God. God finally delivers them over to the hands of the enemy. But we're interested in the word iron here, and this is a picture of a very common thing in the Old Testament, God judging his unfaithful people. And spiritually, it's pointing to the judgment against the churches during the time of the end of the church, when the Lord comes to visit and he does not see any repentance, and therefore judgment begins at the house of God. And yet God is giving us the detail here where he tells Ezekiel to take an iron pan and to set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city. So the tile is a picture of the city. Ezekiel in this little passage would be representative of God himself. And Ezekiel takes the iron pan and sets it between himself and that tile. And then he sets his face against it, and it is besieged, and it's a sign to the house of Israel. God is basically saying, again, I will make your heaven iron. And when you are besieged, when judgment begins upon you, when my wrath is poured out upon you for your wicked deeds, well, then surely you'll pray, you'll then seek me out, and my face will be the face of an iron pan. You will not be able to penetrate it. It will shut out your prayers, and you will not be delivered. You have been given up, and you will be judged. Your punishment is just, and it will be completed. And so we see how iron is used by God to represent the strength of his judgment, and the fact that a people are under judgment. And in Revelation 2:27, he shall rule them, the nations, with a rod or staff of iron. Now, the iron here takes on a special significance when we read the next part of verse 27. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And of course, if you have a staff of iron in your hand, as what should be a shepherd's instrument, yet it is a strong weapon to begin breaking vessels of pottery, the dishonorable vessels that are no good. They are not what the potter is pleased with at all. He has taken some and reshaped them and made them vessels unto honor, his elect. But there's a great many vessels that need to be destroyed. And the iron staff is a very excellent weapon to begin destroying all of this useless and worthless pottery.